So, hi guys. Been in a while. Feels good to be back. Yeah. All right. Wanted to speak with you, if I have the time I have, about a couple of things tonight. First, I want to talk about Yitzchak. Yitzchak is kind of a mysterious of. I'll explain what I mean. Avram, we kind of understood what he stood for. He brought a moon into the world. We see how he fights, he battles, the Avodah Zarah of his time, he goes to Eretz Yisrael. There's a whole life and a whole history of all the brilliant and wonderful things, his legacy that he gave over to Klal Yisrael. Yaakov Avinu, we have the Shvatim. The whole legacy of the Shvatim, the whole history, several parashiyos that involve the life story of Yitzchak, of Yaakov. But of Yitzchak, there's almost nothing. There's a handful of stories concerning Yitzchak. We're told about his birth. The next time we meet up with him, we're told last week's parasha or this week's parasha, last week's parasha. We heard about how he got married. Doesn't really play a major role in that story. But he gets married. We meet him again when he's 40. He's davening for children. We meet him again. A brief story with Abimelech. Another maisa with the wells. And then finally the brachas, and that's it. So what's his legacy? The Klal Yisrael. Just an in-between of, between Avram and Yaakov. What did he give us? What is his legacy to Klal Yisrael? So let's see in these few psukim if we can find something in the psukim that indicate things about Yitzchak that may answer that question. We find the parashas told us, this week's parasha, we find an interesting pasuk. It says, "Vayehi ra'av ba'aretz, milvad ha'ra'av harishoyin asher hoya b'mei Avraham. Vayelech Yitzchak el Avimelech melech plishtim gerora." It says there was a famine. The Torah adds kind of an odd pasuk. "Milvad ha'ra'av harishoyin asher hoya b'mei Avraham." Little historical fact. Besides the famine that was once upon a time in the days of Avram, there was another famine. Vayelech Yitzchak el Avimelech melech plishtim gerora. Good. Vayera elav Hashem, vayomer al terid Mitzrayim. Hashem appears to Yitzchak and tells him, don't go down to Mitzrayim. Shchein baretz asher amar elecha. Now, the question we should ask ourselves immediately is, who said Yitzchak was thinking of going to Mitzrayim? Where did Hashem suddenly comes to him and tells him, don't go to Mitzrayim? Why was Yitzchak even thinking about that? So Rashi kind of addresses it. Rashi says, Al terid Mitzrayim, shahaya daitoy leredes leMitzrayim. Rashi tells us right away he was thinking about going to Mitzrayim. Why? K'may shiyarad aviv b'mei harov. Just like his father went down to Mitzrayim in the Rav, that's what Yitzchak was going to do too. So Omer loy, al terid Mitzrayim. Sh'ata oyle tmima vein chutz laretz kedai lecha. So Yitzchak is going to do what his father did. His father went down to Mitzrayim by Rav. He's going to do the same thing. That's why the Torah in Pasuk Aleph is emphasizing milvad ha'ra'av ha'rishoyin ha'shehoi b'mei Avraham. It's telling you, just like that same Rav that we had in Avraham's time, Yitzchak had the same thing, and he's going to do exactly what his father did, go down to Mitzrayim. Comes Hashem and tells him, no, don't do that. when does Yitzchak? It's interesting. He gets married at 40, and he waits 20 years, doesn't have children. After 20 years, he first starts davening for children. Why was that? Let's see Rashi. Rashi tells us. Rashi gives us a whole cheshbon. Rashi says. Well, I can't immediately find the Rashi, but I know what Rashi says. Rashi says very simple. Rashi says that the reason was because he waited. Let's figure, make a cheshbon. He was 37 when he married her. Rashi says he waited 13 years until she was ready to have children. And then, oh, here it is. Ben Shishim Shana, Zakt Rashi, Yud Shanim, Mishanosa, Ad Shanas, Isbas, Yud Gimel Shana. He waited 10 years until she was 13. Uruya Leheroyan. Now she can get pregnant. She's 13 years old. The Yud Shanim Halolu Tzafa. He waited 10 more years. The Himtin Law. He waited those 10 years, Zakt Rashi, Kemoi Sha'osa Aviv Lasara. Just like Avram waited for Sarah 10 years, Yitzchak did the same thing. Kevin Shalani Sabra, when he saw after 10 years, Yoda Shi Akara. He knew immediately that she was an Akara, Vehis Pala Aleh, and then he started to daven. Yitzchak is copying his father again. His father did the same thing. He waited 10 years. The 10 years he knew she's an Akara. Said Yitzchak, I'll wait 10 years too. He waited 10 years. She didn't have any children. He knew that was the time to daven. What could Yitzchak have done otherwise? What did his father do? Remember what his father did? What happened? What did Avram do when Sarah didn't have children? He married Hagar. Rashi steps in right away. V'shifcha le'ratza lisa. That's the next thing Yitzchak should do, just like his father. Rashi tells me, no, but he didn't marry a shifcha. Lefi shniskadish bar Maria liyois oyla tmima. He was an oyla tmima. But otherwise, he would have done the same thing. You get the message, guys? This is what Yitzchak is about. He's following in the footsteps, in the derech of his father. You see it again. Interesting, in last week's parasha, when Eliezer goes, first Eliezer meets with Avram. Avram makes up with him. Go to my mishpacha. Go look for a chosen, a kala for my son Yitzchak. Yitzchak is never consulted, never discussed. Never says, he's not part of the whole deal. However, with Rivka, it's a different story. When he sits down with his family, what do they say? Vayomru Nikra Lenara. Let's call her Vinishalis Pia. Let's see what she has to say. With Rivka, you see over there, Rivka's part of the deal. With Yitzchak, he's not. It's Poshut. We don't have to ask him. He doesn't have to be consulted. It's obvious that whomever his father chooses, that's who Yitzchak's going to marry. You see also, the Torah emphasizes again by the Beiris. It says again and again that Avraham, what's Yitzchak interested in doing? He saw the Plishtim kept filling up and kept filling up the Beiris. Asher chafru avdei aviv bimei Avraham aviv. Sitmon plishtim v'yimalim afar. Whatever his father, his bearers that his father had dug, were filled up. Yitzchak went back and redug them. Kitzer, Yitzchak's great mesira, and his legacy, and these parshas are all about mesira. Yitzchak is the of Avram Avinu created the concept of Yisrael. He created the concept of Amun in the Bari Olam. He brought himself and with it all his children close to the Bayi Olam and gave us, made Klal Yisrael and gave us the special connection we have with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. He created Avodah. He was the first of the Oivdei Hashem.
who believed in Hashem, taught Avodas Hashem to the world. Yitzchak steps follows his Messiah. The concept of Messiah begins right away. Whatever my father did, that's what Yitzchak is prepared to do. And it reaches the highest point at the Akedah. Because what happened at the Akedah? Avram, the Nisayan of Avram, he had the big Nisayan of the Akedah. So a lot of Mefarshim say, they asked the Kasha, they said, what was the big Nisayan of Avram? He had a Nevuah. He had a Nevuah to go and be Makri of his son. You get a Nevuah from Hashem, is that really such a Nisayan? So the Mefarshim say, I once saw this with Sheikh Rav Shach, say, beautiful idea. A Navi gets his Nevuah, but aspaklaria she'ena meira. It's not 100% clear. It needs interpretation. The Navi was trusted to say the correct interpretation of the Nevuah, whatever it would be. But it needed interpretation. Avram's Nisayan was to have the Nevuah and interpret it correctly. To see, to get the message from Hashem, interpret it the way it was intended to be given to Shecht your son, and go ahead and be makriv his son on a mizbeach. That was the great avoida of Avram Avinu. But I asked you, Rabbi Yisai, that's all. Avram got the nevuah. What about Yitzchak? What about Yitzchak? What's his role here? Teretz is Yitzchak is something even greater. Because Yitzchak goes along with his father like a bubla. He never asked, are you sure? Maybe you didn't get the Nevuah right. Whatever his father said, he was prepared to do ad kedei kach, that he was willing to be meiser nafshoi. So gentlemen, I suggest to you that's what these parashiyos, and especially Yitzchak, is about. It's about the concept of Messiah, which is such a basic yisoid to all of us, to Klal Yisrael. This is what Yitzchak gives over. This is his legacy to all of us. Very good. Now, the concept of Messiah is so basic in Yiddishkeit. Now, you all know, those of you who have, I'm sure some of you have seen the Hakdama of the Rambam, to the Yad HaChazaka, but the Rambam goes through the whole Maser of Klai Yisrael, or the Dairus, back from Moshe Rabbeinu, Dor Acher Dor Acher Dor Acher Dor Acher Dor Acher Tyra 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 Tyra. And the Rambam says that the Chasimas of Talmud, the Gemar of the Maser, ended with Ravina and Ravashi. And it looks like, when you see that, that the Maser is over. The Gemar is written down, we have the Talmud, and now we're going on through the Dairus afterwards is just to try and be mefarish to understand the whole Gemar and everything that's there. But gentlemen, the Messiah really hasn't ended at Ravina Rav Ashi. And it's been going on and on and on and on in another section of Torah. My Shver often refers, he used to say that the fifth chelik of Shulchan Aruch, what we'll call the chelik of life. I mean the following. There is Shulchan Aruch, which is the basic yesodis, the halachas, the dinim. But then there are issues that come up in life. Issues that come up in our daily activities, our daily behaviors, that we need to know how do we behave, how do we do things. That Messiah has continued dar achar dar achar dar ad hayom hazeh. If we want to know how to behave, we have to look. Sometimes we can look at Bereishis, but sometimes we have to look at the Gedolim of a recent past, see what they did. Based on how they behaved, we behave. Rav Ruderman once told me, he was very, very makpid. He told me that I should never say over, told me this clearly, never say over a story unless you heard it from an Adam Gadol. And I understood two things. I understood, number one, whatever story he told me was going to be from an Adam Gadol, I could rely on it. And number two, he was saying something else. You know, we get sometimes from stories, they're very geschmack. But sometimes, you know, you don't get them exact, you don't get them right. You miss the point. The stories are halachas. They're not only interesting and fun, They're not only stories sometimes that show us Yiras Shamayim of the Gedolim, but we learn things from them. And if we're going to learn from them, they have to be accurate, they have to be precise, and they have to be Neman, they have to be faithful to what the stories are true. Let me give you a few examples of a few Maisim, which I think illustrate, I think, some interesting things where I saw in my Rebbeim, where they got things from their Rebbeim and gave it over to us. When Rav Ruderman came to Slobodka, I think I told you this once, so I'll just repeat it very quickly. The Alter of Slobodka, who was the Mashgiach, called the Rav, the Alter. I once asked Rav Ruderman, why was the Alter of Slobodka called the Alter? He said to me, he wasn't the Rashiv, and he was too big to be called the Mashgiach, so he became the Alter. But he was everything in Slobodka. And when the Rav Ruderman came to Slobodka, the Alter saw he had a genius on his hands. He saw what kind of an Ilu he was, and he was an Ilu Yotzim. The Alter, seeing what an Ilu he was, he put him on a Seder to learn, get ready guys, a Masechta a week. He learned a Masechta a week. At the end of the week, he went to the Reshiva of Moshe Mordechai Epstein for a Bechina on the Masechta that he learned. And he proceeded this way. He came and he was 30, a little after his 13th birthday, and he stayed there for 2 years learning in yeshiva at the rate of a masechta a week. Somewhere during those 2 years, the Alter started receiving letters that his father was ill and he was sick. And what did the Alter do with the letters? Put them in his pocket. He got another letter. His father's really sick. He should come home. Rav Ruderman should come home. What did the Alter do with the letter? Put it in his pocket. Finally, a letter comes. His father was nifter. You know what the Alter did with the letter? He put it in his pocket. For another year and a half, Rav Ruderman never knew that his father was nifter. Then one day the Alter told him, your father died. He died a year and a half ago. And they have a chiyuv to sit shiva, what's called a shmur chayka, sit for a few hours in yeshiva, and then go back to learn. Ruderman told me he did it. He sat for 2 hours in yeshiva, Talmidim came, were menachem him, and then he went back to the Beis Medrash. I asked him, did you have a tain on the Alter for that? Were you upset? He said, no. The Alter knew what he was doing. The Alter understood. I had no tains. That's the way the Alter understood. That's the way it was going to be. I'm always amazed by this. Today, I'm still flabbergasted. He was 13, 15, no communication from home. He never went home, never wondered with his parents. He had a relationship with his parents. It's unbelievable. Can we imagine what Lita must have been like once upon a time? This is less than 100 years, about 100 years ago. A little less than 100 years ago. Almost exactly 100 years ago, this story. Unbelievable. But I saw something interesting in my kufa near Yisrael. There was a boy, it was Erev Rosh Hashanah, and the message came to yeshiva that the boy, his mother had been sick, and the boy's mother was nifter. Ruden was told, and he told the tzevet in yeshiva, don't tell him. Don't tell him. Let him have a davening in Rosh Hashanah. How could he have the plates to do something like that? He said, because I saw by the Alter. The Alter didn't want to shtare my Avodah, so we're not going to shtare his Avodah in Rosh Hashanah and tell him about his mother. Wait, let him daven Rosh Hashanah like a mensch, then after Rosh Hashanah we'll tell him. I'll tell you another story I had with Rav Ruderman. After I got married, sometimes you have a button on a jacket or something tears off. So a button tore off my jacket, and my wife said, I'll fix it for you. Okay, fine. It's like, sometimes you don't want to take off the jacket. It's annoying. So, she started to sew it. I think it was actually a coat. I was wearing a coat, and a button came off a coat. And it's a pain to take it off. She says, I'll sew it back on. So she started to sew it, but she says to me, you know what? She says to me, take a thread and start putting it in your mouth and start sucking it. I said, what? I said, no, that's what you're supposed to do. I said, come on, you gotta be joking. I said, no, that's what we're up here. I said, there's no such thing, it's ridiculous. That's ridiculous, it doesn't say it anywhere. It's the silliest thing I ever heard of. And I thought it was crazy. I don't know of any such Gemara. I know of nowhere in the Pesukim it says anything like that. So I, Gemara, why are we laughing? Fast forward a few months later, I'm in Camp Aguda, and a button on Ruderman's kapota tears off. And one of the Gaboyim says, I'll sew it on. And he starts sewing it. Rav Ruderman said to me, give me a thread. I said, what do you need a thread for? He says, I'm going to suck it. I said, what? And he says, yeah, that's why my mother told me. My mother told me when you're sewing a button on, you're supposed to suck a thread. And that's what he did. He took the thread. I gave him a, from this thread. He put it in his mouth. And it was going like this the whole time while the guy was sewing on the thread. Rabbeisai, this is a man who knew Bavli, Yerushalmi, Sifra, Sifri, Tosefta, Midrashim, hundreds of thousands of tshuvas. And he's sucking on a thread because his mother told him. Rabbeisai, that's Messiah. That's what it's about. When Rabbi Zalman, he had an idea at one point, a couple of stories with Rabbi Zalman actually, he had an idea at one point that he felt that he would get more, his learning would be better if he would sit and learn. Give up saying shiur in yeshiva. Sitting and learn would be more. He'd have more hatzlacha if he would sit and learn. So he came, by the way, I heard this from Rav Shach, this story. He came to Rav Chaim to ask Rav Chaim if it's a good idea. And he gave him all his reasons and all his logic and all his svaras why he'd be better off if he was just sitting and learning in a room and saying a shiur in a yeshiva. Reb Chaim told him, you know what? You're right. Your cheshbonos are right. But you know what? Never saw anybody do it. None of the Gedolim Klal Yisrael ever did it before. We have Mesira, that's not what you do. And in Torah B'Zeh Zaman, go back to yeshiva and keep teaching. That's not what we do. That's Mesira. I remember, I'll give you one more Maisi. I remember Rav Ruderman was once having a conversation with Simcha Zisel Broida. You heard that name before? He was Rosh Yeshiva in Chevron here in Eretz Yisrael, and they were related. They were first cousin once removed. And they were discussing, also Rav Zalman came up. And the discussion was the following. Rav Zalman's yeshiva in Slutsk never really succeeded the way he wanted to succeed. And they were discussing why it didn't succeed. And they all agreed that it was one event that led to the fact that the yeshiva didn't succeed, and that was this. When Rabbi Zalman was leaving Slobodka to go and open up Slutsk, the Alter of Slobodka told him, before you leave, go downstairs for a little while and sit and learn Musar. Learn a half hour Musar. Then you can go to Slutsk. Rizan was so busy, he was in, you know, a Bahola, he's got to prepare, he's leaving Slobodka, and he never did it. So they both agreed that that was the reason why the yeshiva didn't succeed, because he didn't learn Musar. But it was interesting why. Rav Ruderman said the reason was, because you see what happens when you don't learn Musar before you start a major undertaking. And Rav Simcha Zisel said, no, the Alter told him, you don't listen to an Adam Gadol, that's the punishment. Either way, gentlemen, these are two older men discussing, having a serious discussion. But either way, it's all about Messiah. Oh, time went by fast. So let me just say all this to you. I had in yeshiva, you will all find, you guys are young now, you don't realize what's going on in your lives. When I was in yeshiva, we didn't appreciate it either. But all kinds of things, all kinds of events happen. Things happen with Rebbeim. You hear a story here, a story there. Those events are going to nourish you for the rest of your life. You're going to have a story, a maisa. You're going to remember at some point in your life something's going to happen. And you remember how your Rebbeim handle things, how they... Keep watching. Watch your Rebbeim. Stay close to them. Because that, at times, at various times in your life, what's going to guide you. You're going to remember when something happens, I remember this happened, my Rosh Hashiva said this. This happened, that happened. This is the ongoing Messiah of Klal Yisrael. It's the legacy of Yitzchak. And Yitz Hashem, stay with it. Keep with your Rebbeim. Listen to your Shiurim. Stay close to them. And the Messiah will continue. Ad Seif Ederes.